Today's guest is an unmarketer. So let me know in the comments, do you like marketing or anti-marketing? Let's learn
Building spirituality, family, health, and business. This is the Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.
more. Hey, Giant Builders, if you missed last week's program or podcast episode, you missed a treat. Ethel is such an amazing person. I mean, God is so using her. I really encourage you to look at last week's episode. Also, if you have a voice that you would love to have heard and you think that podcasting will help you do that, I have a beginner's podcasting course. It's in our sponsor section. So go to thegiantbuilders.com/sponsors. All right, let's meet today's speaker. Hey, Giant Builders, I am so happy to see you. And we have our guest today. I am so excited. He's actually from Portugal. And my husband and I visited Portugal last year. And it's a beautiful country. If you have not had a chance to go there, you should definitely put that on your bucket list. So I'm going to try to say his name correctly, but he said whatever I said would be okay. So this is Tiago Faria. No, is
Yes.
that okay?
Yes. You
Okay.
can say that. Faria, Tiago Faria, but it
Okay.
works. It works perfectly.
All right. Well, thank you, Tiago. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lois. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm so glad you've been in Portugal as well. It's becoming such a vibrant city. The Lisbon is like the tourism is booming, and I love it. I love it how it completely changed the city. I was away for more than 8 years, and it was completely different. It was very local, city. But now, it's a multinational city full of nomads and tourists from America. Lots of people. I love it. I love it. So I'm Tiago Faria from Lisbon, Portugal, and I am a business mentor. I'm basically a business mentor for coaches, consultants, service providers, whoever is trying to help others achieve a specific result. And a profound results, and hence they're willing to charge a high ticket for those services or programs. I'm especially focused on those that are a bit tired of, the creating reels on stories on Instagram, that the whole game, or creating free live events, and that's very exhausting, and or they're just tired of wasting money on Facebook ads or Google ads, and they just want something, okay, just something that is simple to do that I can implement. And then things will start smoothly growing and sustainably in a sustainable way. And that's why what I called my anti-marketing approach, which we can expand a bit later on if you want.
Well, I think you just got everybody who has a business attention because I think we're all in those particular categories. So, well, why don't we start there? So, what do you mean by anti-marketing method?
Yeah, it's not that I'm absolutely anti-marketing per se. Of course, I love marketing. It's my life. My yeah,
I
you're not that much,
am.
but it's my hobby. All of these things of online business, I really love it. I'm just anti those things that I talked about, like those shiny objects or things that we feel that we should be doing because we see others doing. And all the internet gurus are bombarding us with you're one funnel away, or those very complex strategies that just keep us distracted from doing the work. And then we have this feeling that we should be trying every little thing, and then if it doesn't work immediately, we jump to the other one, and then we stay in that game for a long period of time if you're not careful, and you fall into that trap. Most people eventually just quit, and then they won't fulfill their potential because of that. And that's one thing I really want to get rid of. I want to help people get rid of that. So the anti-marketing approach is basically forget about all those things. I truly believe that you already have everything you need in your world right now to start something very interesting and sustainable. We all have established relationships. Basically, that's it. Our current established relationships. We all have customer list, maybe clients we've worked on with before, or leads, people we've talked to, etc. We all have a contact list of friends, family, colleagues, LinkedIn connections, and we all have some sort of audience, right? So either a Facebook profile or a LinkedIn profile, and so basically that's it. We already have those assets basically, so established relationships. And then those people might not actually be the ones who give you the money directly, but they will help us. They can also help us get the money in multiple ways. But it all starts with you deciding, asking yourself this question: do I have something that my target audience actually needs? Like, is my product, my service actually solving a desperate problem that my audience really wants to solve right now? Because if not, that's exactly where we should start. And when I said the people can help us get the money, we can actually start interviewing those people around us that we feel are the right fit for our niche, and simply ask them questions, like very easily try to understand what is your main frustrations, how's your day look like, what are your main obstacles, how does it make you feel? So to extract those very emotional language words that will be super helpful for us to craft something that people actually want to buy. And that's the complete opposite of that most of us do. I was like that for sure for many years, creating something in my own head and then trying to find out if people want to buy it, and then no one wants to buy it. So now I'm inverting completely that process. I want to make people help me create something that they want to buy. Okay. So that's basically the first step of this anti-marketing approach, is let people help you, because people want to help you. And if you let them, and if you are willing to just ask people that, like, can I have a 10 to 15 minute chat with you? I just want to ask you some questions, give me feedback about this thing I want to create, you know? Mm-hmm. We'll be surprised about how many people answer yes, people want to help us. It starts there.
I think we're in a stage now where so many people would like to start their own business or just a side hustle to help with expenses, you know, because everything is just so high these days. And I think too, I think that because of our exposure to internet things and things of that nature, I think people are becoming more aware that they have things that they can share. I mean, it can be a knowledge thing, you know, some life experience that you've been through that could be actually something that they could offer. I've heard that you don't have to be a genius at something. You just have to know more than your audience. Yeah. And so with your, like, do you, what would be like a process of like turning knowledge into an offer?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And it all starts with, okay, you have your own knowledge, but we should not be basing only on the fact that we have this specific knowledge, this framework, or et cetera. We should look at the other side and look at the potential people that would need our offer. Where would we be more valued? You know, who would value the most out of my services? So we basically, it's a good exercise to just make a brainstorm of, you know, different people that we could help, different people in different contexts, you know, demographics or even psychographics, or I don't know, make a list of different people that we could help, and also specific problems that we could help solve. And that's the main focus that we should be having initially, not our own frameworks, but who can I serve the best, the fastest, the easiest? Who could I generate a best, better result in a better way? Make a brainstorm. And then if you have it all on paper, you can actually start pinpointing, okay, who do I like to work with the most? You know, who would I have pleasure working with? Who would I be able to generate a faster result? Who would be able to pay for that specific result, right? Who would also be able to implement what I'm passing to them? For example, if we're trying to help C-level single moms, to improve their relationship with their adolescent kid, for example, it will be hard if you have a very complex program, huge, with 30 hours of videos and long exercises that the mom has to do, and she doesn't have any time for that. So she would not be able to implement it. So those are all the things we should think about before we decide on who we should be focusing on. But it's important to focus on a specific person and a specific problem. Otherwise, our communication will not resonate with, no one will resonate with it. It will be just too generic if we just say, oh, I'm just a relationship coach or something like that, right? It just comes, we say in Portugal, it comes to one ear and leaves to the other, and people will just not feel identified with it. So the more specific we are about who we're trying to help, and the more we understand that person, you know, if we interview them, she will tell us all the frustration she has, all the obstacles, and the And then we can just simply communicate as half her own conversation. You know, that will be my first approach.
Okay. So do you have any tips on how to turn your network, if you will, into like a source of referrals?
Yeah, exactly. So I started saying that we could tap into our network to help us create something, but after we create it, we can, first of all, we can go back to those people we interviewed initially and say, look, I created this amazing service that helps you solve the problem you told me you have. What do you think? And yeah, and for those people that are in our current established relationships that don't need what we just created, we can ask them, well, okay, what can they need? What else could they need? The people around me and most people need money or want money of some sort. And most people need and want to help people that they care about, that they have a relationship with. And you never know, the connections go so much further than we can possibly imagine. You never know who knows who. So I'm a very strong defender of being proactive about asking for referrals, like you said. Have your own referral program where you incentivize people to send you the right people, the right person, the people, potential clients. And you actually pay them a referral fee for each client that turn becomes your own client, right? And in this way, if you turn it into a systematic process, where you like make a whole list of people that you have some sort of relationship, and simply start asking. It's one of the biggest fears that I had to surpass in my entrepreneurial career is to lose the fear of asking and asking constantly. I think it's a very important skill to develop. Because and the faster that we develop it, the faster we can reach our goals. Because people want to help us, we just have to allow them, remind them, open up, be abundant about that, and things start happening definitely.
Well, I think most people, the highest percentage of people, probably hate sales. I mean, sales calls, sales, doing that. But you don't have to approach it as like a selling. I think it's more of a relationship building. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You're just basically seeing if you both are a fit for each other, right? If you're approaching it in this way that you're as like you're disqualifying people, you're looking for the right pe person to that you can actually generate a real transformation, not just anyone, right? And if you approach it that way, that you're like you don't care about what will be the outcome of that conversation, either the person goes or not to work with you. It doesn't matter because you're looking for the exact person that could take you where you want to be. And to take you where you want to be, you have to start generating results, right? And you can only generate results with the right people, the right mindset, the right the readiness to implement what you want to pass, right? So if you see it that way, selling becomes just like a conversation to see if you're both a fit. You're not just selling something. You're asking the person if she's willing, if she's capable of implementing what you are going to pass. And selling be can become just a conversation, just asking questions. The person will start telling you what the problems are, what it makes her feel like. And then you can simply ask, okay, do you want help with that? I have this thing that can actually help you go there. So selling doesn't have to be more complicated than that, in my opinion.
Do you have any tips on how to like increase your authority in marketing?
This anti-marketing approach is focused on your current relationships. So you're just working on whatever you have and asking people to help you to extend your network through referrals, right? But then in terms of creating new relationships, before you go to the ads route and the trying to reach cold audiences in the hardest way, either through cold outreach or ads or whatever, there's another more abundant way and not marketing way to do it, which is through podcasting, exactly what you are doing, Lois. You're connecting with amazing people. We're sharing each other's audiences, right? Your audience will see me, my audience will see you. So you're tapping into new audiences this way, either as a podcast host or as a podcast guest. So both ways, everyone gets to win in this process, which is amazing for me. That's why I love it so much. And you get to also not only increase your audience to increase your authority, but also increase your network with highly influential, very well connected people, and they have more opportunities to create partnerships, to create referral exchanges. So yeah, this is the best way to, I think for me, I learned this for a long time ago from one of my first mentors, is that the fastest way to gain authority is to tap into other people's audiences, you know, and I think that's a very, very smart way to do it.
So, well, tell me about your podcast.
Yes. So I actually started here in Portugal in 2019, and it helped me a lot in terms of getting more comfortable on camera, because I was not very introverted. I hated presentations, so it was easier because you pass the ball to the other side, right? The focus is on the guest.
Like I'm doing.
Exactly. So there's you start getting more comfortable in camera, so I loved it. And I started creating very important networking here in Portugal. So with I was surprised by how easily people say yes, even top level people here. It was incredible. Created amazing networking partnerships like this. And gain authority in the local market by tapping into their audiences, right? And since I was doing a lot of SEO work, my videos oftentimes showed up in the first place on Google, even after they're all the videos of the person I interviewed. So I was positioning myself very interestingly, and it helped me definitely to catapult my presence, gain lots of networking. So yeah, I was focused mainly on Portugal, having some international guests that I admire, people that I admired a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm restructuring to become to English language, because I'm at the beginning stages of internationalizing my brand. I was too overly focused in Portugal for the last 5 years. But yeah.
Say a sentence for me in Portuguese.
Estou muito contente por estar aqui. É um orgulho enorme e uma honra tremenda estar aqui contigo, Lois.
Oh, all right. What'd you say?
It's a tremendous honor to be here
and
to be spending this time with you.
Oh, well, that was very sweet. Well, tell me about a first meeting with you. What process do you go through to get to know the person and what they need?
Yeah, so I first try to understand exactly what are their current assets, like what do you have already? Do you have any lists of audience list or email list? Help them make a list of established relationships, like we talked about here, all the different platforms we can reach out. And then I want to understand what are their goals, what they have been trying to do before, and how we can already start extracting, potential clients out of what their current assets are, But it all starts with the creating the offer, the right offer. Like we talked about, be drilling down, like what is specific person and problem that you're trying to solve. And then go on, interview people around you. That's the main thing that I love to put my customers through, because it's such an eye opener and it opens so many opportunities and doors. You collect valuable data that will help you craft something that people want to buy. You can also immediately start selling to those people. You can start immediately asking them if they know anyone, and multiplying the effect. So that's why it's such an amazing strategy, in my opinion, that most people don't do it, because it seems too simplistic, right? It seems too easy. And it's easy not to do it, right? Because of that. yeah, it's the best strategy is to start with what you already have to have those quick wins. And then once you have an offer that is proven to work, referrals are helping you out, then you can start, thinking about the new audiences, the podcasting route. But yeah, that's mainly the process with the people that I work with.
Oh, great. Well, all right, listeners, if you are new, just be aware that in our website, thegiantbuilders.com, there's a media page and a sponsor page. And under the sponsor page, you'll see that I have put together a podcast course. So if you're interested in doing that, check that out, because it's, I guarantee to have you ready and going within 3 weeks. So,
oh my God, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It doesn't have to be difficult. You can make it easy. You can just get started is the important part.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts?
I would say, yeah, the things that I would like to highlight of what we talked about here is to just talk to people. That's such an interesting thing that we have when we come to this business. We try to hide behind our computers and try to do everything on our own. And we forget about the people that are around us that are willing to help if we just ask them. in multiple ways. Help us create an offer, help us to buy whatever we have, and help us find new people around in their own network. And so talking to people and losing the fear of asking, that is so critical. Oh my God. I wish I had someone telling me all the time when I first started, you know, just why there's no point in having fear of asking, because is it more important to you to succeed, have a success, or is it more important to you to, you know, keep yourself in your own fears and your own beliefs? You know, it's a choice that we have to make, and it makes complete sense. And it's just so many opportunities open up when you do that.
Yeah. So our devotional reading this morning said that we're guided by love and fears. So you got to like overpass those fears and enjoy the love that you have for what you're doing and step out and get it done.
No. Our own fears are completely irrelevant in this equation, in this business area. Our people are who matters the most, right? And let's let them decide for the future of our business and not our own fears, beliefs, frustrations, etc.
Yeah, great. Well, Tiago, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us. I will have your contact information below. And I just really respect the fact that I love the fact that you're an anti-marketer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's took a long time to reach this stage and to fall into all the traps, but I truly believe that this is the right way to start, and you know, and grow sustainably, and then you can play with all those fancy things and hire people and yeah, all the game.
Yeah. All right, Giant Builders, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.